Bill could not have chosen a better hymn to introduce the subject that the Lord seems to have brought to my mind for the morning sessions of this week. I want to speak to you about a subject that is very close to my heart, especially in recent months. It's the subject of Christ, the center and the circumference of the Scriptures. And to introduce the subject, I want you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we will read some verses there. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 13. A very familiar story, but a very important one. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not recognize him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou the only stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we hoped that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women of our company amazed us, who were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village to which they went, and he made as though as he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat eating with them, that he took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us along the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? May God bless to us the reading from his holy word this morning. Let us bow just for a brief word of prayer. We acknowledge our Father this morning, that this word is thy word, and can only be interpreted by thy blessed Holy Spirit. We pray that His perfect work will be done in our midst this morning. May our minds be enlightened. May our pure minds be stirred up by way of remembrance. Grant that our hearts will be prepared for the implanting of the good seed of thy word, and grant the result of our being together this morning will be honor to thee, exaltation to Christ, and blessing to thy dear people. We ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen. I mentioned before reading the scriptures to you that the Lord has brought to my mind in recent months the fact that Christ is being relegated in our gatherings. Now, such circumstances have taken place in the mainline denominations long ago, but there is a trend, unless men of God come in to stop it, that very soon we will be relegating our Lord Jesus Christ to a place of unimportance in our midst. Now, you may say, how do you arrive at such a conclusion? Our travels take us to many parts of the country, to our own beloved United States, and also the country of my adoption in Canada. And when we go, especially to the Lord's Supper, we find that on many occasions our attention is diverted from the true object of our coming together. In no way appearing to be critical, but simply factual, in one instance just not too long ago, that there were five brothers, the majority of them younger men, who ministered before the breaking of bread. And while there was no error taught, the scriptures that were mentioned and the words that were spoken were not in keeping with the character of the meeting that we were attending. There is no reason why ministry should not be given prior to the breaking of bread and the drinking of the wine, provided that it points us to Christ and helps us in our worship to appreciate Him in a greater and fuller way. But one feels with a great deal of sadness in their heart that the Lord's Supper is becoming a place for younger men. And I love younger men. There are some good younger men coming along. But it is sad for me to report to you that they are using this occasion in order to display their knowledge. May God help us. And I'm appealing to you older brethren here, some of your elders in the assemblies that you come from. And I'm appealing to you from the depths of my heart this morning that our ministry may be so directed to these dear young men that we might be able to take them aside and to teach them more perfectly the Word of God in order that we may be able to keep Christ in the Lord's Supper, and that we may be able to keep Christ in our preaching. I don't have the privilege of listening too often, but when I do listen, I listen very intently. Perhaps God has given me the spirit of discernment, and I am analyzing every word that the preacher is saying. And in many instances, there is a clear word spoken. Please state now, then you'll find that there are some who engage in mental gymnastics. And the word that is presented is a display of knowledge. And sometimes the truths that are expounded are such that muddy the water and confuse the people of God. Therefore, I am appealing to you with all my heart this morning to keep Christ in the scriptures. We hear the fact of keeping Christ in Christmas, but the time has come when we have to appeal to each other to keep Christ in the scriptures and to keep Christ in our assemblies. Now this morning, as we have come, may we come with the attitude of the disciples when they said to the Lord, "Where dwellest thou? Where do you live?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And may we come with the attitude of the Greeks. There were those that had come from Jerusalem, and the source of attraction was a man, Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. They came to see a man who had been dead and now was alive again. But there were others who came, and you'll notice that they were not Jews. They were Greeks. And they came and said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." And may God enlighten your eyes this morning. And may God burn into your heart an intense desire to see the Lord Jesus. Now, broadly speaking, there are five great divisions in the scriptures, and each division portrays Christ in one facet or other of his glory. And I want to talk to you during the rest of the week concerning these five divisions. And you'll get them all if you're taking notes. I'll go slowly so that you can get them all down. Because I'm going to, conveniently, I believe, bring those five divisions under five key words that will fix them in your mind. All with the purpose, beloved. Don't lose sight of the purpose to keep Christ as the theme of the scripture. Now, there are those who say that we should see Christ in every book in the scripture. There are others who say that we should see Christ in every chapter of the book. There are those who go further and say that we should see Christ in every paragraph. And there are extremists who say that we should see Christ in every verse. Now, whatever your persuasion may be in this regard, the object of our talks during the morning sessions will be to make Christ and Christ alone the center and the circumference of the scripture, the hub and the horizon of the scripture, the pivot and the perimeter. Now, what I'm saying to you is not theory, because this is what our Lord said 1900 years ago on this wonderful occasion when he met with the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. He attested that he himself was the center of the scriptures, because beginning at Moses, and we ought to know beginning at the Pentateuch, the five first books in the Bible, then going through the writings of the prophets, he expounded, explained, and interpreted unto them in every part of the scripture the things concerning himself. I'm saying to you is not a new theory. Was it Harry Ironside, Dr. Harry Ironside, who said that if it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. So this is not a new thing. This is something that the Lord propounded so many years ago. On this hallowed occasion, Cleopas and his companion, who was his companion? What disciple was it? There are many who believe that it was his wife. And this could be, because when they came to the house, he made as if he would go further. And they said to him, "Don't go on, come on in and break bread with us." And you know, that was a wonderful occasion. Their eyes had beheld him. They didn't know the stranger that was journeying with them. Perhaps they were sad. Perhaps they were overcome with the recent tragic events in Jerusalem. But when they went into the house, a remarkable thing happened, beloved. He was invited as a guest, but he became the host. And he broke the bread, and he handed it to the two. And am I being sacrilegious when I say that as he passed them the bread, that they saw the wounds in his hand? And immediately their eyes were opened, and they recognized the Lord. Wouldn't you like to have been there that day, just to be so close to him, and to be among the first to see him who once was dead, but now alive, and alive in the power of an indissoluble life? And so, Cleopas and his companion, whoever he or she might have been, had the inestimable privilege of hearing the incarnate word open the written word. Christ, the risen Lord, expounding the Holy Scriptures. And I still believe, beloved, that that is the way that the Scriptures are expounded today. I know that some of you, well, you're older like myself. I won't say old, but you're older like myself. And we have come through the learning process of our younger years. I remember my library in Scotland, and then down in Florida, where for 19 years we labored for the Lord, and we built up quite a considerable library, one that I was humbly proud of. But you know, we have given away most of the books now. Not because the ministry in them was not God glorifying, because the ministry was God glorifying. But what I feel, beloved, is this, that the truths that were revealed to those godly men were the truths that were fit for God's people 100 years ago. I know that their truths are still applicable today, but oh, for the men like John, the men of God, who are sent from God, who will go into the closet, into the secret place, alone with God, on bended knee, with an open book, and with the blessed teacher, the Holy Spirit. Allow him to reveal the precious word of God. Oh, that we had men and women who will completely abandon themselves to the will of God and allow Him to work in their lives and to allow the Blessed Spirit of God to expound to them the Scriptures. He Himself, beloved, and most of you know this, but I want to impress you that He Himself, our Lord Jesus, is the subject of the Scriptures, and that in Him the entire canon of Scriptures finds its oneness, its harmony, and its unity. And if we admit to this, and that if we dwell alone with Him without any outside help, we too will find, like those two on the way to Emmaus, that our hearts will burn as He talks with us by the way. Oh, it is my prayer, has been this morning already on several occasions, that God will give you all heartburn today. Not the kind that can be cured by Pepto-Bismol or Rolaids, but a spiritual heartburn as Christ talks with you. By the way. Now, here are the five key words. First of all, I want to give you them quickly, and then a little more detailed, and then I'm going to develop each of them as we go through the week. The five key words are the preparation for Christ in the Old Testament, the manifestation of Christ in the Gospels, the propagation of Christ in the Acts, the explanation of Christ in the Epistles, and the consummation of Christ in the Revelation. Now, a little more detailed, not much. In the Old Testament, we see God preparing for the coming of Christ. In the Gospels, we see Him manifested to the world. In the Acts, through the Gospel, we see Him propagated in the world. In the Epistle, we see His Gospel explained. And in the Revelation, we see all the purposes of God in Christ consummated. Now, there are the five divisions. I've given to you the five keywords, and it is around these things that we will direct your thoughts for the next few mornings. Now, the first one. In the Old Testament, we see God preparing for the coming of His Son. Now, keep in mind Christ and all the Scriptures. Christ supreme, Christ paramount, Christ predominant, Christ preeminent. All the Scriptures. Let us go back to almost the very beginning. You remember after the fall that Adam and Eve hid themselves and they covered themselves with fig leaves. But they were not dressed properly for the presence of God. And there is an incident there that we don't hear very much about or consider it. And it is this, that God clothed them in coats of skin and made them fit for His presence. Now, we've read the story. Perhaps we've heard someone expound very briefly. But what is entailed here? Perhaps the first lesson that God would have us to know about His Son, Jesus Christ. Before those skins could be provided, a life or lives had to be taken. Those animals had to be slain. Their blood had to be shed. And because the animals were slain, because their blood was shed, provision or a covering was provided for our fallen forebears to come into the presence of God. Now, beloved, that may seem very simple, but there is a tremendous truth here, because it points us forward to the time when our Lord came, and when He was slain, and when His blood was shed. And because of the death of our Lord, and because of the precious blood that was shed, we have been clothed in perfect righteousness, and are now fit for the presence of God. No, I have to make a confession that it is only in later years, that I have began really to appreciate the righteousness of God in which I am clothed. And the startling fact is, and I rejoiced in this very early this morning, God, holy, righteous, absolutely perfect. He sees me and you, perfectly righteous in His sight, and by way of comparison, we are as righteous as Jesus Christ in His sight. Can you imagine this? How beautiful, how wonderful that as God views us through Christ, we are as righteous as He. Oh, praise God for the sacrifice, for the Savior. And my time has gone. And I just want to say this morning, because I will continue tomorrow morning, that there is a truth here that we need to rethink. It is the truth of the shedding of blood. Blood. I remember in the old days, and you remember too, and sometimes we talk about the good old days. Well, they weren't all good old days. But in the old days, if there was one thing that the evangelist preached, it was the death of Christ and salvation through the blood of Christ. The main denominations have long since stopped preaching about the blood. And I want you, my dear beloved in the Lord, to analyze what you hear on our platforms today, and you will be amazed at how many people, how many of our preachers never mention the blood of Christ. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Oh, as I share those deep spiritual concerns of mine for God's dear people, and I love them all, may God convict you, and may God give you the wisdom and the grace to put Christ where He belongs, and to make the precious blood of Christ as precious to each one of us as it is to God Himself, Christ, in all the Scriptures. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for revealing Thyself to us through Thy Son, whom we can call our Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless Thee for Him, for His perfection. We thank Thee for the body that was prepared for Him. We thank Thee for the life that was laid down at Calvary. And we thank Thee for that precious, precious blood that was outpoured. It would seem that every drop of it was outpoured for we remember on resurrection ground that he said to his frightened disciples, he said, touch me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. The blood had been poured out, the blood that procured our redemption. God, our Father, we thank thee for thy Son, thy blessed Son. And we would say, blessed Jesus, wondrous cross, precious blood, enough for justice, enough for God, enough for me. Lord Jesus, we worship thee this morning. Oh, Jesus, we worship thee in his